Greetings, Earthlings, extraterrestrials, whoever else might be listening. Welcome to the Spread and Essence Football Picks Podcast. I'm Ricky Doyle, joined as always by Andre Kachaturian. No Mike Cole today, who is typically with us. We usually run in the three-pronged attack. Today it'll just be the two-headed monster. Injury is really the story across the NFL, so I guess we're dealing with one of our own. Not quite an injury. Mike's just on vacation, but nevertheless, he's not here. So Andre, you and I are going to have to pick up the slack a little bit.
Yeah, I'm excited. This should be a good two-pronged attack.
We're eliminating a prong here.
Sports history, maybe MJ Pippen, Lemieux Yager, Manny Ortiz. It's going to be good.
I should mention, though, that Mike was nice enough to pass along his picks for three games of the week. So we'll insert him into the equation somehow.
Give us a whole it's like a message with great notes that we'll probably be stealing as well. So
definitely will be some theft involved, I'm sure. And why not too, based on the week that he had in week two. I don't know if you have the records and want to give those, but I know myself it was a bloodbath. Solid week one, rough week two. Mike, the complete opposite, was just a total house on fire in week two.
Yeah, Mike started off the week with I went 8-8. Started 8-6 and then finished 8-8. Mike was in his first 14 games he was 10-4. And Ricky, you started off the first 14 with 5-9. That's excluding the Sunday night and the Monday night games. But Ricky, quite a stark contrast from your first week, though.
Yeah, you know what though, like, looking back on this past week, I guess I kind of feel the same way that Mike did after week one, where, like, obviously there's no moral victories in the sports betting. But, like, I didn't look at any of those games on Sunday and feel like I had a terrible read on it. Like, there was a lot of late game action in those where, you know, depending on who you picked, you could end up on the wrong side or the right side of the number. I mean, even, like, going back to Thursday, started off with the Bengals backdoor covering on Thursday night.
And the Patriots, just the final play. I mean, that decided the game and the spread as well.
Right.
I actually just calculated the Sunday night and Monday night games. And Ricky, you missed those two as well. So you went 5-11. Mike got both of those. He went 12-4. So there's a reason why he's on vacation. He probably just hit all of his bets this week and said, I'm taking the week off.
I'm taking the wife to the vineyard. I think it might be their anniversary. I think you mentioned that. And if so, yeah,
we're not sure why he's on vacation, but
if so, if there is a anniversary, you know, maybe it's not even their anniversary. It's just a anniversary of some sort or a birthday. I think, does he got a birthday coming up or just passed?
That's in October.
Okay.
Nobody knows why he's on vacation.
But it's going to be difficult to have his birthday celebration this year, though. Generally, I know you like to bring in some baked goods.
Yes.
But if we're doing this remote, we're going to have to figure out something. Maybe we can spruce up our backgrounds, put on our party hats, and
see. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll have to do something to celebrate somehow. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I forget if his birthday's in September or October, but it's sometime around the fall. Yeah.
Well, we'll get to the bottom of it. What we're actually here to do, though, aside from this crazy mumbo jumbo that we'll throw at you, is to pick the top three games, what we deem to be the top three games of the NFL weekend for week three. We'll also give some locks, some upsets, and, you know, touch on various other topics throughout the show. Of course, if you're watching on YouTube, which is quite possible, I would also suggest that you follow us on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Go over there, subscribe, like us, or don't like us, whatever you want. As long as you're listening, we're cool. But, yeah, so let me ask you this before we get into week three. Were there any – I guess the injuries, like I mentioned, were the big story. I mean, a lot of big names going down. Saquon Barkley, Nick Bosa, Cortland Sutton, Drew Lock, Christian McCaffrey.
Basically everybody in the Niners.
4 to 6 weeks. So a lot on that front. I guess that's the biggest sort of takeaway. Was there anything else that stood out to you from week two?
It was – the backdoor covers that we talked about, especially Thursday and, you know, with a lot of these games. And one thing that's kind of sticking out to me are the Chicago Bears are somehow 2-0. But that's the thing about week two. I feel like every year we look at the first two games of the season, there's a lot of overreaction. And I think a big part of this week is going to be this great stat that Joe Osborne of Oddshark put out on Twitter. Over the last four seasons, teams that started 0-2 against the spread are a combined 22-7 against the spread in week three. So I think a lot of people tend to overreact after the first 2 weeks, and hopefully I won't be that person. But it's definitely a good stat to know heading into this week. Look at those 0-2 and 2-0 teams and maybe bet against them.
Yeah, week one hopefully is sort of that. Obviously, you don't know what you're getting with the offseason turnover and whatnot, and especially this year with the pandemic and the abbreviated offseason and all that. Week two is, like you said, that's sort of the overreaction week where you sort of test your theories that you came away with from week one. And I think week three is sort of that identity week. Like, I think you'll get a much better read after this week, especially given some of the matchups on where teams are and what direction they're heading going, for the rest of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, at this point, even though it's just two games, which teams aren't going to be good this season. The Giants and Washington aren't doing anything this season, or the Jets. So it's good to have that. But, like, there's still a lot of question marks. Are the Bears really a 2-0 team? Or now San Francisco has a lot of question marks. How are the injuries going to impact them? So it'll be interesting to see. Or, like, the Vikings. They look like garbage early on, but I think they're a better team than the record suggests.
Well, one team, let's go here. A team that's sort of exceeding expectations a little bit through the first 2 weeks. I know your expectations, certainly. The Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
They're 2-0. Prove it game this week against the Buffalo Bills in Orchard Park, 1 p.m. on Sunday. We'll start there for our picks of the week. This was when we were we had the initial email and text and whatnot floating what three games we wanted to pick. I wanted to include this one because it's a kind of random matchup, like the AFC versus NFC.
Yep.
Two teams that are trying to sort of solidify themselves as legitimate contenders for this year. So I just think it's a very interesting matchup. Bills 2.5-point favorites as of the recording. The total set at 47.5. Like I said, Rams coming off wins over the Cowboys and Eagles, whereas the Bills coming off wins over the Jets and Dolphins. So, I know you were down a little bit on the Rams at the beginning of the season, and you weren't alone in that assessment. So, is your opinion changing them at all? Who do you like in this matchup?
I'm going to take the Bills. My opinion on the Rams is still to be determined, I guess. They are a 2-0 team, but this is, again, a big test for them. And I think interesting story about the Rams. They requested to have two back-to-back East Coast games in week at some point during the NFL season. And obviously, they had the Eagles in Philly last week, and now they have Buffalo this week. There's their back-to-back East Coast games. But that was when the NFL made the schedule. They weren't expecting the world to be in the situation that we're still in. So unfortunately, the Rams won't be able to stay in the East Coast for both of to be closer to both of their games. They finished their Eagles game. They flew back to Los Angeles and to do full week of practice, then fly back to Buffalo. That's a lot of air miles. Because the NFL has strict travel restrictions with regards to staying in hotel rooms and other protocols. So the Rams called an audible on their 2 weeks of travel, and I think that's going to hurt them. I think the Bills, they get the comfort of being at home, not having to travel as much as the Rams have in the last 2 weeks. And also, Josh Allen, somehow the guy, he might be the best quarterback in the league right now after the first 2 weeks. 6 touchdowns, no picks, 70.4 completion percentage, leads the league in passing yards. He's really, really improved over the last two seasons and kind of building off the end of last year as well. So I'll take Buffalo in this one. I do think the Rams, they're kind of that 2-0 record is kind of a facade. Yeah, they played well against Dallas and Philly, but those two teams, we really don't know who they are as well. I'm sure the Bills, body of work isn't that great as well, Dolphins and Giants. But I think there's a big test for both of these teams, and I think the Bills are really going to show who they are. Also, random stat, missed tackles. Rams are third in the league with 15. Bills have the second fewest with 3. So that's according to Pro Football Reference.
Only 4 quarterbacks in NFL history thrown for at least 700 yards and 6 touchdowns without an interception in the first 2 weeks of the season. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen.
That's incredible.
Now, whether this is sustainable, like you said, you know, that remains to be seen. But I look at the, you know, the receiving core. They added Stephon Diggs in the offseason to, you know, you get John Brown, Cole Beasley, all three of them on track for 1,000-yard seasons. And I think that could pose a little bit of a matchup problem for the Rams, who, if anything, you know, we know about the defensive front anchored by Aaron Donald. Their secondary outside of Jalen Ramsey, they still have a few questions about that. And mainly my big question for them coming into the season was their linebacking core and just how they were going to perform at the second level. So I think the Bills, you know, what this offense is capable of doing with these, you know, so far, according to Next Gen Stats, they've had a four receiver set on the highest percentage of plays in the NFL. I think they're going to be able to space out that Rams defense a little bit. So far, they've done a pretty good job of keeping Josh Allen upright. And if, you know, the Rams are having problems at the second level, I think maybe he makes a few plays with his legs this week. So I'm going to lean towards the Bills as well. I do think that travel issue that you mentioned that Mike brought up to when we were texting back and forth with him, it could play a factor in this game. And ultimately on the other side of the football, I think that if the Bills are able to pressure Jared Goff, which is something that teams haven't really been able to do all that much so far, and when they have, they've had success against the Rams. Then I think that could sort of dictate how this matchup goes as well. I say that as someone who likes what the Rams have done, though. I mean, I do like what they've done, especially offensively. It's almost like the not having Todd Gurley has been a little bit of a blessing in disguise. They're able to deploy those three running backs that they have pretty equally, and I just think what they've done with Goff from a, you know, running some bootlegs and getting him outside the pocket and how they've used play action. I just think it's very – their offense felt stale last year after that huge 2018. I think Sean McVay went back to the drawing board and has them in a good place right now. But for the previous reasons I mentioned, it's hard for me to take them in an outright upset here. Since we're only laying 2.5 points, I'm gonna lean towards the Bills.
Sure. Yeah. No. And Mike Cole also went with the Bills, so it's a clean sweep. Good stat for him that he pointed out. Jared Goff under pressure this season: 5 of 16, 44 yards with a touchdown and a pick, and a 35.5 passer rating. And Buffalo's defense, their third in Pro Football Focus is pass rush metric this season. So we always talk about the Bills pass rush in the last 5 years. They've always been a good defensive team, even when they're bad. So I think the Bills, you know, are they Super Bowl contenders? I think they are.
I mean, I still like them the most of any team in the AFC East, including the Patriots.
Yeah, 100%.
I think that continuity on defense, particularly in the secondary, is huge. One thing I should note, still don't know the status of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. They're two starting linebackers who missed Buffalo's game against the Dolphins, so we'll see what happens with them. I think it is probably somewhat optimistic that they're going to be back, considering they didn't put them on the 3-week injured reserve. Whether they're back this week or next week, we'll see. But obviously having those two guys back would be a huge help as well.
Yep.
All right, let's flash forward now to Sunday night. Where it's unfortunate that Mike's not here to talk about this game because it's near and dear to his heart. But the Packers traveling to New Orleans to face the Saints. You get a kickoff at 8:20. Saints 3.5-point favorites coming off that just a very disappointing loss on Monday night. The Packers, meanwhile, have just been lighting up the scoreboard. I don't know where you lean on this one. Obviously, this is a you got to sort of cherish these moments as this could be one of the final times or the final time that we get to see Drew Brees versus Aaron Rodgers. So far, they've split their four career meetings, and it's interesting. These two teams certainly are trying to solidify themselves as Super Bowl contenders. I don't know which way you're leaning in this one, but I think the expectation, certainly with the total being set at 51.5, people are expecting a shootout for this.
Yeah. And you're right, it's a classic matchup, Rodgers and Brees. But I think that half point, it's a 3.5-point spread, that half point is kind of making one of the people take the Packers. But I think the Saints bounce back, they're going to be at home. And let's be real, the first two games of the season are always difficult for the Saints. They're always slow starters. They're you know, dating back the last seven seasons, the Saints are 3-11 in weeks 1 and 2. So it's not really a surprise that they dropped that game against Las Vegas on Monday night. And but I think the biggest reason is the Packers' rush defense, which still hasn't improved. They're a 2-0 team, but they've still allowed 5.2 yards per carry, the third most in the league. They were terrible at it last season. They're terrible at it this season. Alvin Kamara is going to eat up that Green Bay rush defense. And let's be real, the Saints did everything right on Monday night when it comes to the metrics. They averaged 7.5 yards per play, and they allowed fewer than 5. When you look at those metrics, and you don't show the score, you just show those Saints averaged this many yards per play, and they allowed this many yards per play. You asked me to guess who won that game. I would have 100% said the Saints, but it just wasn't the case. They didn't run that many plays at all. The Raiders ran 20 more plays than the Saints did. But I don't think that'll be the case this Sunday night, especially with the Packers' rush defense. I think the Saints will be able to eat up a lot of clock and take control of the game at home.
Huge problem for the Saints in the first 2 weeks have been penalties. Leading the NFL in penalties in back-to-back weeks, 124 yards per game over those first two games. So, you know, that if you're just constantly being penalized, that's pushing you back. Yeah. But, you know, is that a discipline problem that's going to hurt them in the long run? I don't know. I think that that's something that's correctable after 2 weeks. Especially, I mean, this is a team that's historically made solid adjustments after the first couple of weeks anyways. I mean, we've seen they had a complete defensive turnaround, whether it was last year or 2 years ago, where they were historically bad through the first 2 weeks, and the next thing you know, they were one of the best defenses in the NFL. So, I'm with you. I'm taking the Saints here. I think there's some value on them with sort of, you know, we mentioned the overreactions to week 1 and 2. I think you're going to get a little bit of that based on how much the Packers have scored in their first 2 weeks. Winning by a combined score of 85-55 against the Vikings and Lions, two teams that might just be bad. I mean, we still, you know, we're still to be determined on those guys. I just look at the Saints, and for the, you know, the reasons you mentioned, I think that they're going to be able to chew up some of the clock. The one thing that does concern me a little bit about New Orleans, outside of just the Michael Thomas injury, obviously, which I think hurt them more so than probably they even thought in that Monday night game, but just how much they're able to push the ball downfield like they've historically been able to do. I mean, you look at, you know, Drew Brees' average depth of target, and it's just a team that's very reliant on yards after the catch now, and just how that offense is going to take shape and whether it's going to be as explosive as we've been accustomed to seeing throughout the course of the season. But I think mainly my big thing with the Packers is just I want to see it one more week against a good opponent like the Saints, because I do think that, you know, the issues against the run, you know, beyond Davante Adams, who's banged up with the hamstring injury, are their pass catchers going to be good enough to continue to put up numbers like this? I guess the jury is still out for me on the Packers more so than the Saints.
And another thing that's worth noting about the Saints' potential issue is we saw the cliff for Peyton Manning. We saw the cliff for Tom Brady last year with the Patriots, and maybe Brees is hitting that cliff now at age 41. His completion percentage, 64.7%. It's 10 points down from his completion percentage last year. So I don't know. Maybe it's just two games and I'm sitting here overreacting. But, you know, I think playing the Packers this week at home, that'll be a good test for him. And Mike's pick also was he went with the Saints as well. He added that Davante Adams might be a little hobbled with a hamstring injury, and now he gets to go up against Marcus Lattimore. So that's his reasoning.
Should note, that just kind of an interesting fact, of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers' four previous matchups, they've been in the average combined point total in those games, 69.5, which is the highest scoring QB matchup in the Super Bowl era per ESPN stats and info. The next three highest, in case you're wondering, Tom Brady versus Andrew Luck. It's 67 points, the average point total in those matchups.
Wow.
Rich Gannon versus Elvis Gerbach. and then Brees versus Eli Manning. So
I was not expecting
this. I had to get slip in the Rich Gannon Elvis Gerbach reference while I could. But yeah, so I guess if you're leaning in the over in this, which, like I said, total at 51.5, that certainly will back up your reasoning. Although I don't know. I might lean towards the under, though. But that's neither here nor there.
I think one of those games was in 2008, though.
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, these are much different teams than those previous four meetings.
And yeah, the last time these two teams met was in 2017, which kind of surprises me. That's, you know, they're both good teams. You would expect them to have that, you know, I feel like the Cowboys and Seahawks, they're not divisional teams, but they play every week, it seems like.
Yeah.
They're playing this week, too. But the Saints and Packers, the last time they played was 2017, which is interesting. Anyway, Monday Night Football.
Who knows? Maybe it's a NFC Championship preview. And then if you want to talk about AFC Championship preview, the Monday Night game is certainly I think that is sort of the expectation amongst the general public that these two teams that we're about to see clash on Monday night are among the best of the best. I'm, of course, talking about the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Baltimore to face the Ravens. This is another game where Vegas is expecting a shootout. I'm sure the public is expecting a shootout. Total set at 53.5. Ravens 3-point favorites. I think you might be able to get that at 3.5 in some places. We'll go with 3 for the purposes of this exercise. This is the most highly anticipated game of the NFL season so far.
100%. And I'm looking at 3.5 as well. Last night, Monday night when I checked, it was at 3 points, and I guess it's shifted to 3.5, which is interesting. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Baltimore in this one. It's Lamar Jackson so far is 0-2 against the Chiefs, but he's just playing. What did I say last week when we did the Ravens game? He said, I'm going to keep taking the Ravens until they give me a reason not to. And that reasoning will continue to stay the same, even though they're playing a team like the Chiefs. We talked about the Packers rush defense being an issue from last year and still this year. The Chiefs rush defense is still an issue. They allowed 183 rushing yards to the Chargers last week and gave them every reason to stay in that game. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to have his way against that inferior rush defense that has struggled ever since last year. Ravens also really good against rushing quarterbacks. They only allowed 20 yards this year, allowed the third fewest last year. So expect Patrick Mahomes to try to beat you with his arm, which he most definitely can do. But I think Lamar Jackson has shown the rest of the league that he can beat you with his arm. 9.8 passing yards per attempt so far this year, best in the league, 77.6% completion percentage, which is up there among the best in the league. In the last 12 regular season games, Lamar Jackson, 29 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's playing on another level right now. And that Ravens defense, they're averaging they're allowing fewer than 14 points a game in the last 13 regular season games. Very underrated defense, Baltimore's defense. Since week 6 of last year, they finished the season allowing just 4.6 yards per play, which is the second best, and they've allowed the fifth fewest yards per play this year. So their defense is continuing to be one of the best in the league, and no one's really talking about it because of Lamar.
Yeah, that's a scary thought that, you know, the week 2 game against Houston was the first time in 9 games that Lamar Jackson didn't record multiple touchdowns. They still won by 17 points.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it was.
They had a defensive touchdown in that game. Their defense is just nuts.
Their defense is, I think it might be time to start giving them a little more love. I mean,
yeah.
You mentioned the low point totals over the past 13 games or so. They've also forced a turnover in 15 consecutive games. That's the longest current active streak in the NFL. They've scored 7 defensive touchdowns in the past 12 games. So, you know, not only are they scoring points when their offense is on the field, but somehow they're managing to score points when their defense is on the field. And this is just – it's lining up to be a very scary proposition for the rest of the NFL. It feels to me, even if, like, we get through this season a little bit and the Ravens start to win games a little bit uglier than they did last year, where maybe Lamar Jackson isn't his best. Maybe they, like, you know, it's with the amount of film that's out on him, maybe he's slowed to a certain extent in the, you know, the wins don't come as sexy as maybe they did last year. I think they could be much better than they were last year. It feels like sort of like that transition that the Chiefs made last year from the year prior, when Mahomes threw for about 800 touchdowns. And ultimately last year, they were better than they were the previous season because of some of the defensive strides they made late in the year. I just think that you could see a similar progression with this Ravens team.
Yeah.
I think the defensive evolution with some of their additions over the offseason are already sort of making an impact. So I'm with you. I'm taking the Ravens. I hate the fact, like, look at this. I'm now very, very chalky with my picks this week, taking all three favorites.
And Mike also picked the Ravens as well. We all picked the favorites.
We're all in lockstep here this week, but it is. I am with you when it comes to just sort of picking with the Ravens as, until they give me a reason to, you know, to do otherwise. And it starts for me with that defense. And I do think that there's the potential there to create some pressure on Mahomes. The Chiefs coming off that game against the Chargers, Mitchell Schwartz allowed 7 pressures, most since 2013. Eric Fisher, I think, allowed 8 pressures. So that offensive line was, you know, not as stout as it typically is. I mentioned the offseason additions that the Ravens made, Calais Campbell, Derek Wolfe. I think ultimately this could come down to how Kansas City starts the game as well. I mean, Ravens have led at halftime 11 straight games.
Wow.
They can tie an NFL record this week. When they're able to do that and come out, you know, guns blazing, post a huge point total in the first quarter, that allows their offense to get into that rhythm it wants to get in, where they rely on the ground game. So it is, you know, it's paramount for the Chiefs to start hot this week. Also, from an offensive standpoint for the Ravens, I think there is an opportunity there for them to get Mark Andrews involved early. Yeah. The Chiefs have had some problems against tight ends. You look even dating back to last year, 4th most catches and 5th most receiving yards to tight ends last season. Coming off a game in which Hunter Henry had 6 catches for 83 yards. So maybe this is a big Mark Andrews game in addition to that rushing attack. And also, Baltimore just typically plays well in primetime, at home in primetime. This is a tough team to beat, 12-0 straight up, 8-4 against the spread in primetime home games since 2011. So
it's just their dominance. It makes it even more shocking how the Titans beat them in the playoffs last year.
I don't know if these two teams meet down the road in the playoffs, whether it be in Kansas City or Baltimore, like, I don't know how they're going to match up at that point. But I just think right now there's several advantages that you can point to in favor of the Ravens, whereas it's much harder to find those advantages in favor of the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's I mentioned Mark, not Mark, Mike took the Ravens as
Mark
well.
Mark DiBenedetto.
Yeah, Mark DiBenedetto's doing picks now. No, yeah, Mike Cole also took the Ravens, so that's a clean sweep. I did mention that, actually. So, but you look at the Ravens, if they get past this game, they got Washington, Cincinnati, and Philly back to back to back. They can easily go 6-0 before a huge showdown against the Steelers in Week 7. I think those Steelers games are going to – the Steelers-Ravens games are going to be fantastic, old-school AFC North rivalry. I'm excited for those.
Well, this is a good week in general.
So good.
Really, really good lineup, because we're going to leave it at those three games for the three matchups of the week. But there was some debate. You know, we could have went with Cowboys-Seahawks is another intriguing matchup this weekend to look forward to.
And then
Raiders-Patriots is a sneaky little good matchup there.
Texans-Steelers.
Titans-Vikings. I mean, Vikings have looked terrible, but maybe this is the week they turn it around. I don't know. Just a lot to, you know, this is a good – we mentioned week 3 being a week in which you can sort of learn teams' identities, and I think that the matchups that we're going to see this week are going to help in that regard too, because you got good teams facing good teams, and hopefully we'll learn a lot. But let's get on to locks and upsets. I mean, honestly, I didn't put a lot of thought into either of these this week.
That's okay.
Focus on the main matchups, but let's start with a lock.
With the Steelers, 3.5-point favorites over Houston. Houston's defense just continues to be really bad. And it stinks for them because they have to play the Chiefs and the Ravens in their first 2 weeks, and now they get Pittsburgh. Talk about the worst possible schedule that you can begin with. Ben Roethlisberger, it looks like he's really jiving with his new young wide receivers, Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson. He has plenty of options to throw at now. But most importantly, that Steelers defense is just tough as nails. We talk about the Ravens defense. The Steelers defense is even better than the Ravens defense. They've allowed the second fewest yards per play this season. They were one of the best last season, and they're second in sacks this year. Watson, Deshaun Watson, has historically had poor protection. He's been sacked 8 times this year, most in the league. And in his last 5 regular season games, Watson continues to struggle. 5 touchdowns, 7 picks in his last 5. So I don't know what's wrong with him, but I don't see that magically changing against the Steelers' defense.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Bucks, 6-point favorites over the Broncos. I don't really like the idea of laying points in Denver. But, I mean, this is a Broncos team that just lost their starting quarterback, just lost their top receiver in Cortland Sutton for the season. So I think they were already going through a little bit of an offensive adjustment period. Now you throw those two wrinkles into the equation going up against a Bucs team that showed improvement in week two, particularly on the defensive end. They have the ability to create some turnovers. I think the Bucs, if they reach their potential this year, it's going to be in large part because of that defense. I think that everybody focused so much on the offense. That defense has talent across the board. And Brady's at his best if they're able to put him in a position where he doesn't necessarily have to go out and turn that offense into a high-flying attack. So I think the Bucs continue their trend of getting better this week. 6-point favorites over the Broncos. I think they can win by a touchdown. Mike passed along his lock. You have something you want to throw in there?
Yeah, he took the Titans 2.5-point favorites over the Vikings as his lock. Said Minnesota has a 31st ranked defense and they've been equally burned by the run and pass. And Minnesota's defense has been on the field longer than any other defense in the league, which could be a bad matchup against the Titans, which ranks 10th in first down percentage through 2 weeks. Minnesota's an interesting team. They run the ball so well, but I think they have the third fewest rush attempts. They need to feed Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, and there are issues in the secondary, which was sort of – I think we sort of saw that coming before the season, just with the turnover that they've had on defense. Not sure I thought it was going to be this pronounced. So I think, if anything, they might be the – that might be the most surprising development for me of the first 2 weeks, is just how bad Minnesota has looked. Let's get in the
upset.
Where do you want to go with this? Who do you got?
I will take the Dallas Cowboys over the Seattle Seahawks. Dallas is 5-point underdog right now. I think that's a huge number. I think Dallas comes out and wins this game. They are one of those 0-2 teams against the spread that I think will be, if you forgot, last 4 seasons, teams that started 0-2 against the spread are a combined 2-2-7 against the spread in week 3. So I think Dallas will be one of those teams that bounces back against the spread in week 3. Dallas plays a lot of close games, and so do the Seahawks. Their offense is going to put up numbers against that Seattle defense. I think Russell Wilson will get his 2. I think we'll see another shootout in this week, and Dallas will come away with a victory.
I'm going to take the Giants over the 49ers, or whatever team shows up on Sunday with the amount of injuries that the 49ers are dealing with. The guys in the 49ers jerseys, Nick Bosa going down, Solomon Thomas also going down. Jimmy Garoppolo got banged up in the second half. So, the injuries were already mounting for that San Francisco team, and then they just got completely decimated in week 2 against the Jets. If I'm not mistaken, they're also dealing with a serious travel situation, much like the Rams. So the line in that game is dropping, I think, significantly from where it opened. The look ahead line had the Giants as 7.5-point underdogs. It's now down to 4 or 4.5 in some places, but I think there's an opportunity for the Giants to win that game outright. I know they dealt with their own injury with Saquon Barkley going down. But as crippling as that can be, they do have some weapons on offense at wide receiver, Evan Engram at tight end. I think they might be able to overcome that to an extent, whereas the 49ers, I mean, you lose those guys in the trenches and you start to screw around with your quarterback, and that's when things could really go off the rails for that San Francisco team. So maybe it starts this week. I don't love the Giants in the long run, but I think this is one where they can steal this game at home.
The Niners are staying on the East Coast this week, but practice is scheduled at the Greenbrier in West Virginia. So they'll be staying there in luxurious Greenbrier before they return to MetLife for their Week 3 showdown against the Giants. But it looks like they had a mechanical issue prior to the Jets game. Playing. They didn't land in New Jersey until nearly 2 a.m. local time Saturday when they left San Francisco, when they took off from the Bay Area. So looks like their travel plans are all out of whack. So, yeah, I kind of like that pick, Ricky. And Mike Cole went with the Bengals 6.5-point dogs over Philadelphia. He just wrote, Cincinnati stinks, but I needed to pick something, so here I am.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
The Eagles might stink as well. So
the Eagles might stink as well. I think they bounce back this week. They'll have a good game this week.
We'll see.
All right.
Well, we made it. We made it through. We survived. Hopefully, we'll get Mike back in there next week. But always a pleasure chatting football with you, Andre.
Always a good time.
If you just one more time, I should mention it. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Follow us week to week. Also, check out Nesson.com throughout the week, particularly on Thursday if you're into the NFL picks. That's when we'll be posting all of our games. So in case you were thrown off at the beginning of the show when we announced our records and you're wondering why we had all of the games included in that, you can find those picks on Nesson.com every Thursday morning. So certainly check in there. And we will be back next week for week 4. That will get us to the we're going to be nearing the quarter mark here.
Yeah, relatively soon. Like that.
And then we're going to start it. Buys will start entering the equation. And, oh, man. Weather on the East Coast is getting all dicey.
Yeah, already.
You know. But, hey, we'll deal with it. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week.